Blog Talk Radio.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Welcome to H Blues Word.
You are now rocking with the best. Best.
Good evening. I'm your host, Stacey B, and you're listening to H Blues Word on Hampton Blue Radio. It's been a while. A lot has happened in the world since I've been gone. I've kind of taken a hiatus because I have a lot of work that I do outside of radio and doing podcasts. I actually manage an artist, and I do events in New York City. So I took quite a long hiatus. I will continue doing the radio and podcasts, but I won't do it every week. I'm looking at maybe twice a month, once a month. I'll figure that out. But I will mainly be interviewing top people that I find interesting, and hopefully you enjoy. But like I said, a lot has been happening in the world. Supreme Court making some landmark decisions. We will discuss that briefly later on. And yes, you heard that intro right. That was an instrumental, or part of an instrumental, to one of Diana Ross's, The Boss, one of her signature songs, Ain't No Mountain High Enough. I say one of her signature songs because, to be honest, the legend has quite a few. From What You Heard to Reach Out and Touch Somebody's Hand, I'm Coming Out, The Boss, It's My Turn, Touch Me in the Morning, Upside Down, Love Hangover, I could go on. And that's just her solo career. I didn't even name all the hits from her Supreme days. Now, a little trivia regarding Ain't No Mountain High Enough. It was written by Ashford and Simpson, who were writers for the Motown label. They originally wrote the song for Diana Ross's label mates, Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell. Again, both Motown legends who both sadly have passed away much too soon. But yes, they sang the original version, and then Diana Ross made her version, I believe, about 1969, 1970. And she definitely made it her own, of course. I would say Mr. Gaye's and Miss Tammy Terrell's version is probably a little bit more soulful, perhaps you could say that. Miss Ross's is like symphonic, you know, like symphony, regal, because she really was and still is the queen of Motown. Tonight, I have the pleasure of interviewing a young lady by the name of Allison Sims. She is currently playing in the Motown musical, which is traveling all across the country, and it's also in London. She's on the U.S. tour. And she is playing the Diana Ross lead in the musical. Allison is a Chicago native who is known to have an aura and presence on the stage reminiscent of the greats like Lena Horne, Josephine Baker, and, of course, Miss Diana Ross, which is why I would say she got the part, right? Critics have said to see Allison bring Diana Ross to life night after night in the hit Broadway musical is almost like watching the real Diana Ross come alive right before your eyes. From the moment Allison steps on stage, they say she becomes the embodiment of one of the greatest female singers of our time, Diana Ross. The dynamic singer-actress also has some other notable Broadway credits. She's been in the Book of Mormon. She's also toured regionally with Dreamgirls, Love and Brown Sugar, The Wiz. She's played in The Color Purple. And I'm about to bring Allison on the line now, but before I do, let's go ahead and hear a live version of Diana Ross's hit song, Ain't No Mountain High Enough.
If you need me, call me. No matter where you are, no matter how far, just call my name. I'll be there in a hurry. On that you can depend and never worry. You see, my love is alive. It's like a seed that only needs a thought of you to grow. So if you feel the need for company, please, my darling, let it be me.
All right. Hello, Allison. How are you this evening?
I'm great, Stacey. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us on H Blues Word. As stated, you are currently playing one of the lead roles in the Motown musical. You're playing the boss herself, Miss Diana Ross. Now, I am a huge fan of Motown and of Diana Ross. In fact, I've seen the musical about four times here in New York on Broadway.
Oh, wow.
I know, right? I can't get enough, I guess. So,
yeah.
But how were you able to land this role?
By the grace of God. No. I was in the Broadway production for 3 months prior to the tour, but I was playing Florence Ballard and several ensemble members. And then I was understudying Diana Ross. So I think because I was familiar with the role and I was able to watch the show, that it kind of familiarized with me. And so when my agent called me about the auditions for the national tour, I had to jump on it because, you know, I was understudying this role and I had some opportunities to go on, but you know, that's the goal. That was the goal for me to play Diana Ross, principally. So I went into the audition and I knew some of the creatives and I was familiar. And they liked what they saw. Barry Gordy gave the thumbs up. Now I'm here.
Wow. So how did you feel playing Florence Ballard? Like, how did you prepare for her, because I remember seeing the musical. Her role is not as big, obviously, as Diana Ross, but how did you prepare for that?
Oh, well, you know, it's funny because my mother, you know, she loved the Supremes, you know, and I remember her saying, well, she one of her favorite Supremes was Florence. And I really wasn't familiar with Florence, so, you know, when I got the role, I had to do some research on my own, even though, you know, she isn't, you know, really featured that much in the show. You know, I found out so much about her life, and, you know, it's just good to know that information when you're playing someone, just to be truthful, in your portrayal of them. So it was different, you know. Florence is not Diana, you know. So that was just, it was a new journey. It was a different journey to go on.
Yes, definitely. And, you know, her life is definitely quite rich. Maybe one day there will be a story on her life as well.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. But so how did you prepare for Diana Ross, like, overall? Did you have you been able to meet with her? Did she give you any tips?
I wish. No, I've never met her, but I've met her through YouTube and her movies. And, you know, I studied all of her work. I call it YouTube University because there's just everything on YouTube that you can find. So there's
really
so much
is.
Footage, you know, like the Supremes, like rare footage from like the 60s, like 65, 66. And then I just kind of watched all of that footage. I watched her movies and just to get her nuances and gestures and all of that. Read her autobiography just to understand, you know, her story. Because, you know, this is Motown the Musical, Berry Gordy's story, you know, the founder. But, you know, I wanted to know her story as well. So the best thing closest to actually speaking with her is, you know, you read her autobiography. Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. And I have read her biography. It's really a great, great story or a great life she has.
Yeah, very, beautiful.
Yes. And how did you get your start in theater? How did you start acting and, starting in Broadway and all those things?
Well, I'd say I spend a lot of time studying music. I actually started studying opera because, you know, I grew up in a musical family and I loved singing. So I went to school for music. You know, that was my passion, and my family was, you know, just amazing enough to support me through the arts. And so I wasn't really familiar with acting per se. But, you know, I auditioned after I graduated for different roles and different shows. And honestly, it's just the experience. Each show you learn more and more about the craft, you know. You can only study it so much. You have to just do it, you know. So
absolutely.
I just learned what works and what doesn't work necessarily, you know.
Absolutely. And so with
on
that.
On the road, literally.
Yeah. And with that. What is the difference between, like, performing on the Broadway stage versus performing on the traveling tour? Because you're definitely getting a lot of experience, that's for sure. But what are the differences?
Oh, my gosh. Well, the stage is changing all the time. The stage size and the theater. You're walking in different theaters every week, every other week. So we never realize how much that, like, all these factors play a part in the show. You know, sometimes the sound is different because of the acoustics. Sometimes we can't really hear ourselves. Sometimes, you know, there's no real consistency in, you know, in touring. You know, the only consistency is that everything changes. That's the only constant. So
yeah.
Being able to, like, hold it down but then be flexible as well, that's, like, the challenge of touring the most, balance of being flexible and, you know, fine.
I can believe it. Well, what has been your favorite city so far? Or do you have one, or is it just...
I have a few.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, we started out in Chicago. I'm from Chicago, so that
nice.
Was amazing. That was full circle to be home and, like, starring in my first, leading role at home. You know, that's just amazing.
Yes.
I love it. Was kind of like a homecoming.
Being a
legend. Yeah, right. Oh, my goodness. I had so many friends and family and, like, people from, back at home, And then I loved Detroit. There's something about it that, even though I have to say that the city, parts of the city, most of the city kind of looks like a war zone almost because there's just so many vacant lots. You can definitely
see. I know,
Good God. Wow. But at the same time, the spirit, the soul of that city is so palpable. Like, and the responses that we got from the audience was like no other, because that was where it all began. You know, the people knew, they know about Motown because they are Motown. So there was a lot of pressure there.
I feel you. And I've had the opportunity to visit the Motown Museum in Detroit about a couple years ago, and you can just really, like you're saying, the energy is just undeniable. Like, just even when you're in that room, it's like, wow, so much magic was created here. You can almost feel it, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
for sure.
Person. So.
Right? Oh,
yeah.
And I love San Francisco, too. That was one of my favorites.
Oh, San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
oh,
it's
nice.
Just a beautiful place.
Yes, yes. Lots. And who were some of your inspirations growing up?
Oh, growing up, oh my gosh, so many singers, just kind of all over the genres. Like, I love Ella Fitzgerald. She kind of started me off in like the whole jazz, singing, and then Nancy Wilson. I love Erykah Badu as well. Like. She's just so conscious and, like, her groove, like, and her style as an artist. She's not just a singer, but a full artist.
Absolutely.
And then who else? Oh, there's just so many. Of course, Diana, but then also Aretha as well. Like, just her soul, like, just so many, so many.
Another Detroit
black
native,
women.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Can you imagine, like, living back then during that era? Like, Detroit had to be just insanely, like, off the chain.
Right, just popping, like, bustling with just all this new, like, new artists. And, I love it. But I just feel like, history is repeating itself. We're singing about a lot of, the civil rights movement in the show.
Yeah.
But then we're also seeing it happen now, with Ferguson and with, just so many black shootings, So when we sing What's Going On, we're not just talking about, the death of Dr. King, but we're talking about what's really going on now as well. So
absolutely, yeah, you're right. And I remember seeing it on Broadway, and it gave me goosebumps. Because you're right, but you're still thinking about even today. And what are your future plans, beyond theater for the future, like film, TV, or recording industry?
Yeah, I'd love to have a journey in each of those, actually. I've never done TV, film. And when we were in L.A., that's like the entertainment capital. Like, that's the headquarters of everything, that is TV.
Yes.
So that really perked my interest in that whole world. I've never had experience in that. So, while I'm on the road, I'm going to just be, working on some screen work, because it's completely different than theater. In theater, you're playing for, like, it's a live performance, and you're playing for the back of the theater, whereas with TV, it's, like, very intimate. So I'm just going to be working on that as well. So after the tour, I'll be a little more experienced to jump into that world. And then I'm also starting to write. Just with traveling, you just see so much happening in each of these cities, and, you know, meeting a lot of people. And I've been, you know, keeping journals and, you know, just writing about what I'm seeing. And I'm wanting to start to put it to music, you know, and just kind of share that. So that's in the work as well, an album. And just drawing, like, you know, inspiration from Motown and other genres that I love. You know, I love jazz. I love soul music. I love hip-hop, you know. So I'm working on that as well. And then who knows what will happen, you know, with the tour. I think it's heading back to Broadway. So I'm an artist. I'm a full, you know, there. I don't want to stick to just one lane of expressing that.
I understand. Yeah, because, in fact, that was one of my next questions, because I did read that it was heading back in 2016. So are you planning to join that cast, or you're saying you want to kind of venture off and explore the things, I guess?
Well, I would love to return to Broadway with this show.
Yeah.
As
like
playing
Broadway,
Diana,
right?
Yes, that is like the ultimate for me. I love, there's nothing like it, you know. That was, that's always been my dream and goal. You know, I love being there and working on that stage, you know. So if, you know, if that's in the stars for me, then I love that.
And now, any kind of pointers did Mr. Gordy give you? You know, did you spend time with him? Because I know he's definitely a hands-on type of person from what I've read.
Oh, yes. Yes, he is. Oh, especially when we were in L.A., because, you know, that's his home. So, you know, he's still very active in the show. And, you know, just as, you know, Diana Ross says in the show, notes, 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 you know, there's always notes. He always wanted to push his artists, you know, to keep improving, you know. So he's always giving us, you know, things to work on. But at the same time, he loves what we're doing. So we don't feel as though we're not appreciated. But he's definitely still very a part of the show.
Yes, and I actually had the opportunity to meet him at a Jesse Jackson event. And that's how I was able to actually with you guys. I was able to thank him for inspiring me as well. So he's definitely a very powerful, influential person. So.
Yeah, he's a visionary.
Yeah. Well, that's great. So I guess we're towards the end of our interview here, but tell the people where they can find you online or even offline, of course. I know you guys are in California right now, right?
Yeah, we're in California until this weekend, actually. Then we'll be heading to the Midwest, and then we'll be heading south and southwest. Memphis and Dallas and Houston, we'll be all over. So the best place just wherever you are is to go on to MotownMusical.com, and that'll give you the full schedule, the full touring schedule of where we'll be.
Yes. Okay, great. And you have a website too, right?
I do. I'm always, you know, it's always changing, but my website is my name, AllisonSims.com, and it's Sims, S-E-M-M-E-S. And I'm also
add that to the info slide on our page, so people can definitely find you. And I'll also add to the schedule, of course. So, well, hope maybe I'll see Motown a fifth time with you.
Please.
As the lead, you know. I'm in New York, but I'm down to go to like D.C. I'm not sure if you guys are going to D.C. or anything. Or
oh, we
Philly.
Are. Yeah,
oh,
we'll be in D.C., Atlanta. We were in Philly too, as well. So.
Great. So then I may see you all in D.C. then.
All right. Well, if you do, please come backstage. Because I'd love to meet you, like just in person.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely let you know. In fact, I'll connect with you online.
Okay.
So remember my info and stuff.
Great.
But great. It was so wonderful speaking with you, Allison, and congratulations on all of your success. And
oh, thank you.
Definitely hope to connect with you in the future.
Thank you. It was great talking with you.
Great talking with you, too. And we'll be right back. For those of you interested in seeing Motown the Musical, go to MotownTheMusical.com where you can check out their tour schedule. Their next cities will be Milwaukee, Wisconsin, July 7th through July 12th, 2015, Memphis, Tennessee, July 14th through July 19th, 2015, Houston, Texas, July 21st through July 26th, 2015, and Dallas, Texas, July 28th through August 16th, 2015. To check out the dates for subsequent cities, again, go to MotownTheMusical.com. For those of you who want to catch the archive of this interview and possibly share it with your friends, we would love it. Go to blogtalkradio.com/HamptonBlue, low E on the blue, or go to the TuneIn Radio app, iTunes, or the Stitcher Radio app, and simply search Hampton Blue. Again, no E on the blue. Be sure to catch Hollywood and Friends with Hollywood, Miss Judy, and Venor at their new time every Sunday at noon right here on Hampton Blue Radio. Yes, that was a great interview with Allison Sims. She seems to be a very humble person, which we love. I definitely will plan to see her in action, perhaps in D.C., and definitely enjoyed the interview. I see I have a caller on the line. See if you want to say anything, caller, 703.
I thought it was so refreshing to hear someone from a different generation who captured the essence of Diana Ross. And I'm looking forward to see her performance as she travels around the country.
Definitely. And what are your favorite things about Diana Ross, the performer?
What can I say? She's the supreme of the entertainer and continues to showcase class and grace.
Absolutely. She's definitely one of a kind, and we definitely need more entertainers like her today.
Absolutely. Because she is a legend, and many of the new artists could take some lessons for sustainability.
Absolutely. definitely. Motown definitely created a lot of legends. In fact, the BET Awards just honored Smokey Robinson. He's 75 years old, and he's still touring. So they definitely created timeless music. And Diana Ross is still touring, too.
Absolutely. It's a very competitive business because it's a lot of people who can sing, but do you have whatever it is?
Absolutely.
And I think Diana, Smokey, and Gladys Knight, and Patti LaBelle have indicated they have whatever it is.
Exactly. You know, it's a lot of, I think I've heard Berry Gordy say it's a lot of luck involved in it, you know, prayer, all kinds of things, you know, and of course you have to have the talent.
You have to have talent, but you also have to have a whole lot of other things, too, for sustainability.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your comment.
Thank you.
Paula, you wanted to make a comment?
Yes. I wanted to say hi to Stacy. This is Aunt Joyce.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I missed the interview with Allison.
Oh, that's okay. Well, we'll definitely have it on archive for you to hear.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. So I only caught maybe a tail end of it, the interview. So she's playing Diana in the Motown, the musical?
She is. She's playing Diana, and she's currently on a national tour. She just left California. In fact, she mentioned that San Francisco was her favorite spot to perform.
Well, I was there. I was there. Well, she was the girl that played the lead singer. Yeah. Well, I wasn't sure what her name was. I'd have to go back and look in the, playbook.
Yeah.
But she was very good, whoever she was.
Okay, great.
Yeah, she was. She was very, very good. Yeah. I hope you told her that I do know Diana.
I'll Facebook her and let her know. You know, I didn't mention that on there, but
you did not. Yeah, I didn't get a chance to meet her. You know, I actually talked to Mary Wilson.
Oh, great.
We talk a lot. I talked to her, and she was on her way at the time. This was shortly after the show that played in San Francisco. She was on her way to Detroit to see the premiere of Motown, the musical there.
Wow. Nice.
So she went there to see it.
And how does she like the musical?
She loved it. Yeah, right. She really did. Yeah, she loved it. She was very positive about it. You know, she said she knew the show was basically about Barry and his relationship with Diana. So she certainly didn't have anything negative to say about it.
Yeah, of course, and I did see her. She came to the Broadway show. It was great to see them both together on stage.
Oh, Mary came to the Broadway show?
She did. I saw some pics of her there, you know, for the opening that they had.
Oh, okay. But she wasn't there physically, was she?
No, she was there physically with Diana Ross and Berry Gordy. There's some pics of it, though.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
She didn't mention that to me. Yeah, she didn't mention that. But I was hoping to catch the show in Detroit, and I couldn't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That would have been really nice. Some of my family did.
And how was Diana Ross growing up, if you can share a few things?
Oh, funny. Silly sometimes, like we all are. You know, but it's kind of interesting, you know, when I hear people talk about her and they say things that I know for a fact aren't true. It's just amazing.
Yes, and
mm-hmm.
Did you always know she was going to be a star?
Oh yeah, yep, pretty obvious. But I knew all three of them, and they were all good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
so we all went to school together.
Great, and Diana Ross is known to have a very unique voice. So.
Yeah, it is. You know, she's toned her voice down somewhat. If you go back and listen to some of her very old records,
yeah,
it was really kind of nasally and high pitched.
Yes. Oh, I do remember hearing that.
Remember that, and I remember Norman, who was one of the producers at Motown, who said Diana, stop singing out of your nose. You got to sing out of your mouth.
she definitely learned, that's for sure.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, she's really a good person, and we're still friends to this day.
Wonderful.
You know, so whenever she's appearing anywhere that's close by, she will always, you know, if I call, she will always give me tickets to go backstage.
Nice. Well, I got to go to a show with you then.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. I think your mom went once, and I don't know if we both went backstage at that time, but I know she went with us one time, and we went to, I think it was Circle Star Theater in Redwood City, California.
Nice.
Yeah.
Great. And I was able to see her daughter a few times here in New York, her daughter Rhonda. She's a good...
Oh, Rhonda. Really? Okay.
Yeah. I met her a few times. She's a good singer, you know, great performer. If you want a kind of laid-back jazz-type atmosphere.
Right. I haven't had the opportunity to really see her in person singing, but I do recall that I saw, I think it was a television show, if I'm not mistaken, where she and Mom were singing together, singing jazz.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
and you know Diana can sing jazz with Lady Sings the Blues.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she sure can. Yep, she sure can. But, yes, we did. We always knew she was going to be a star.
That's wonderful.
She just had that kind of personality that we knew she was going to be a star. Well, she had the talent in the class.
Yeah, and I read a very hard worker.
Very much so. Mm-hmm. Very much so. I mean, that's the entire family.
Wow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the entire family.
Well, Allison definitely enjoyed San Francisco, so I'm sure you saw her. I guess you'll look at your playbook.
I will. And I thought the girl that played Diana was very good.
Great. And
yeah,
she
I thought she was very good.
Ballard. You'll hear the interview later, but she played Florence Ballard here on Broadway.
Oh, she did. Oh, okay. I didn't know that either.
Yeah, so she's all around.
Mm-hmm. And she's on tour now, you said?
Yes, yeah, she's on tour. They just left California. She said they're heading to the Midwest,
okay,
et cetera. Mm-hmm. And, so I've already seen the musical about four times, so I said I'll try to see it a fifth time with her.
Have you really? And,
yes. It's going to come back to Broadway 2016, so you should come up and see it up here,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, you're right. I know it's coming back to California. In fact, I think it's coming to Sacramento this year. Or is it early next year? Not. I thought I saw it at their Music Circus, Broadway Theater, or something like that, that it was coming to Sacramento. Didn't say which tour group, but it just did say that it was coming to that area.
Well, I've heard it's doing really well in the box office.
Well, I am really happy. I'm happy for Barry, you know. I'm happy for him because he's always wanted to make this story.
Yes, and did you know him growing up, or?
I've met Barry before. My sister Vanita knows him much better than I do, you know.
Okay.
I mean, he knows her by name and face.
Nice.
Uh-huh, he kind of knows me as Vanita's sister. One of the Rogers girls, that's what he always calls us, you know.
There's
one of the Rogers girls, you know. But, yeah, I mean, I've known them all, and it seems so strange to... You know, yet I know they're celebrities, but I don't feel like they're celebrities in my head.
Oh, yeah, I can understand that. I can completely,
I really don't,
Because I had the opportunity to meet him very briefly at the Jesse Jackson event, and you could tell he's a very important man. And
yeah,
luckily
he's
I was
kind of shy. He's really
so
shy.
Oh, he's shy. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah,
but
he's very shy.
He luckily turned around and you know, spoke with me briefly. And
nice.
I was happy that I was able to thank him for inspiring me. But one last question. How was Detroit during that time? Because during the interview we talked about, we were just trying to imagine how Detroit felt during that time because there were so many stars that came out of there. Aretha.
Gladys didn't really come out in the beginning from Detroit. She was from, if I recall, Philadelphia, was it not? From another label. And then came over to Detroit to to Motown. I think she was either from Atlanta or somewhere like that, if I recall. But, yes, there were a lot of stars. I mean, the ones you probably obviously know, you know, the Four Tops, the Spinners, the Jackson Five, you know, and the list kind of goes on and on, Mary Wells. You know, I'm probably going back farther than you even remember. With some names that you probably, Tammy Terrell, you know, I mean, I knew all those guys. You know, Tammy Terrell, Marvin Gaye, you know, the, let's see, Martha and the Vandellas.
Wow, that's amazing.
Smokey Robinson. You know, I mean, we knew all, every single one of those people. I worked at Motown, too, for a short period of time when I was in high school.
Wow, I was going to ask that if you spent time with
Bill. I spent time there. And then my stepfather also wrote for Motown, wrote for some of the stars at Motown.
Wow, what songs did he write?
Inner City Blues for Marvin Gaye, What's Going On, and gosh, I can't even, and of course, you know, we're still getting royalties from that. Gosh, there are lots of them. You know, he was not a writer, but he was not a singer, but he was a pretty darn good writer. He couldn't sing a lick, but he could write music.
Yeah, and that's, I was telling an artist the other day, you know, we still need writers. We don't necessarily have to be on stage, but, you know, just great writers.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. But, yeah, I was really, you know, it's kind of sad now when I go back because, you know, it's still my hometown and I have fond memories of Detroit. You know, when I go back, I still go back to Hitsville, USA, you know, just to reminisce and close my eyes and kind of imagine the way it was back in the 60s and 70s.
It was just a lot of energy.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
And Allison mentioned that, you know, you could feel the energy, but she did mention how, you know, Detroit probably isn't what it used to be, you know. But
No, it isn't. But, you know, Detroit fans are still Detroit fans, you know, and when these people come back to perform there, you know, practically the whole city turns out. And at least us anyway, you know, all of us anyway, we do turn out, you know, because Motown left, I guess it was back in the early 70s.
Yes, they moved to California. Yeah,
they moved to California, you know. Of course, we called them all traitors at the time, but they did. They had to move to somewhere bigger, you know.
Oh,
they were
growing
their leaps and around.
Yeah, and then we could make film, I guess.
Yes, it was. It was. Yeah. And one of the persons they mentioned in the show, I remember when I went to see the play, the Motown play, Janie Bradford was mentioned, and I think they did mention her name in passing when they were doing the credits. She's a big promoter there, and Janie and I are good friends as well.
Nice. Wow.
Yeah.
And, I would love to talk to some of these people here. You got to hook me up.
Yes, I would. Yeah, Janie is so down to earth. You know, she was sort of like Barry's right-hand man, along with his sister Esther, who, you know, really was the impetus of that entire Motown sound. It was her in the beginning, before Barry.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I did. I think I did read that in his autobiography.
Mm-hmm.
And
very close-knit family.
Yes, he was very blessed with that, from what I...
Yes, very, very close-knit family. He's the only boy in... Was he the only boy in the family? Let me see. I'm trying to think. There was Robert. There's Robert. Yeah. I'm trying to think of all the names now. No, there's Robert. But I think everybody knows just him more so than anybody else. And, you know, and of course, the sister, Esther, who started the company, and, you know, a few of the others.
Yes. He was the boy that was named after his father.
Exactly.
But, thank you so much, Joyce. Definitely want to talk with you more in the future here. Hopefully I'll see you soon.
Yeah, well, I hope so. You're in New York.
Yes, in New York.
Right. Yeah, so when that show does come, maybe I will just jump on an airplane and take a trip out there to come and see. We can all go see it together.
Yes, definitely. I would love that.
Maybe I'll even crash the stage and get Diana to bring us up.
I would love that.
Right, right.
And please tell Miss Wilson I said hello. Maybe I could talk to her one day.
I would. She's in Europe right now. I think she's going to be in Florida sometime this year because she does play Florida a lot.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. She's a legend you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's still pretty down to earth. Mm-hmm. But I certainly will. I'll say hi to her for you.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
And I'll be sure to share the archive with you this interview so you
thank
can hear
you.
It.
Thank you. Yeah, I didn't hear the whole interview. I would love to have heard it. You know, I really do think that young lady was very talented and she captured the essence of Diana very well.
Great. I can't wait to see her. Perhaps in D.C., because she said she'll likely be in D.C. soon. So.
Okay.
I'll travel down.
Yes, but right. Thank you, Stacy. It was nice talking to you.
Great talking to you, too.
Okay. Thanks for sharing all of this with me, and I was happy to be part of it. I've imparted some wisdom.
Oh, you did. I loved it. That's a great addition to the show.
Wonderful.
First-hand stories.
Yes, right. First-hand stories. You're absolutely right.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Aunt Joyce.
Oh, you bet. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. For those of you who want to check out Motown the Musical, it's headed to Milwaukee, July 7th through July 12th. Next will be Memphis, Tennessee, July 14th through July 19th. Houston, Texas, July 21st through July 26th. And then Dallas, Texas, July 28th through August 16th. For those of you who want to catch the archive of this interview, if you missed it live, be sure to check us out via Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Stitcher. Yes, indeed. We love Motown. We love Diana Ross. We love Berry Gordy, and again, a pleasure speaking with Allison Sims. I know she's truly enjoying herself there on tour, playing such a great legend. Now, I mentioned seeing her in D.C., but speaking of D.C., there's quite a few landmark cases that have occurred. One was upholding Obamacare, which is very big, and the other is the legalizing of gay marriage across all 50 states. I was actually surprised by it. I hate to say that, but I was. There has been quite a bit of discussion on this via my Facebook page. Some love it, others don't. Some are indifferent. I personally love it. I think equality all around is very important. We are a nation of over 300 million people. We all deserve individual happiness. To me, as long as you do not hurt others in the process of getting to your happy, then who am I to judge what brings you joy? I know that there are some issues with regard to whether religious freedom will be affected. Well, hopefully not, because that is also very important, that we have our religious freedom. Just as people have the right to love who they love and marry who they want, who is an adult, of course, then folks also have the right not to like it, privately at least. And I believe private religious organizations have the right not to acknowledge it as well. This may hurt their tax status. You know, some have said that. But I don't know. Maybe there's some type of compromise that can be made because, again, religious freedom is still very important. We have to protect that. There is a case currently in the UK of a gay couple suing a church because they refused to marry them. Again, I'm for gay marriage. I support it. Marriage equality. But I don't think they should sue the church. Allow people or organizations to have their beliefs. You know, we have to protect the beliefs we don't like in order to have our beliefs, you know. There are people who may feel they jeopardize their relationship with God if they marry a same-sex couple. So I don't agree, again, with the thinking that we should sue that particular church. Even though I disagree with their position, you just have to respect it. Again, just like you're asking them to respect your lifestyle. But overall, I'm happy to see Love Won. Many were promoting the hashtag Love Wins online, and it has. We still have a lot of work to do. We still have a lot of tolerance to teach, tolerance of difference. Charleston Massacre is an example of that. The young man entered one of the oldest churches in Charleston, AME Church, Emmanuel, and allegedly, I have to say allegedly because he has not been convicted yet, but we know the situation, but he allegedly killed 9 people who you can say are now angels, who will never be forgotten. Their deaths are not in vain either, as it has prompted South Carolina to consider taking down the Confederate flag at the Capitol. A lot of debate on this, but my position is clear. You know, I know I mentioned that we need to respect other people's opinions, differing of opinions, but there are exceptions. And I look at the Confederate flag as hate speech. It is a symbol of America's past, promoting the enslavement of my ancestors. So to me, it's no good. It's not something that should fit into the freedom of speech category, because again, it's hate speech in my opinion. So it should come down. As Joe Morton, the great actor who plays Papa Pope on Scandal, stated, "You cried yourself to sleep because Lincoln hurt your feelings." You know, that's pretty much what it is. Just let it go. And overall, that's your problem. If you have an issue with the fact that the South lost the Civil War. And that's my position. But that is my show for the night. I hope you enjoyed. I would like to end with more Diana Ross. I will end with one of my faves, a live version of The Boss. The Boss is what we call Ms. Ross, actually, but the song, again, it was written and produced by Ashford and Simpson, and it is about how love is the boss. Love wins, and that is one of the greatest truths of all. Love is the boss. Love will conquer any hate we face in this society. So with that, again, love shall always win. So till next time, peace. Yeah.
Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.